of heights to the depths of the sea.
And notice in verse 3, their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave to the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn.
To the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher Rob Kellogg. In our lesson today, we learn about Jehoram's evil reign. The father of Jehoram was the godly king Jehoshaphat. Yet one of the worst things Jehoshaphat ever did was arrange the marriage of his son Jehoram to Athaliah, the daughter of the evil king Ahab, and his wife Jezebel. Despite Jehoshaphat's wise policy of scattering his sons, once Jehoram was in power, he made it a point to murder all his brothers so they would not be any kind of a threat against his reign. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he begins chapter 21 in the book of 2 Chronicles.
I don't know how you feel about Chronicles, but I'm really enjoying it. I enjoyed it when we went through 1 and 2 Kings and just to see the different men that God raised up and just to see the great heights that some of them achieved, but most of them it was quite low. And there were very few good kings, and the only ones that were good, as you know, were in Judah, the southern two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the northern 10 tribes continued in their idolatry. First began by Jeroboam. Remember, after the kingdom had split, after Solomon's reign, it split between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Jeroboam taking and being the king of those northern 10 tribes, and Rehoboam, Solomon's son, taking leadership or reign over those southern two tribes. And we've been going through Chronicles, and the Chronicles is very different from Kings because we really don't hear much about the northern 10 tribes, but only in Chronicles when it's necessary, because the whole impetus behind the chronicler, the one who is writing this to us, we believe it may be Ezra, during the time of the Judah came back, or during the Babylonian captivity. We believe he wrote that at some point before or just after that or during. But Chronicles is all about Judah. It's all about the kings of Judah, because why is Judah so special? And it really boils down to one thing, really, is that it was through the line of Judah that Jesus ultimately would come. And remember, and I say this because hopefully by me saying it enough, it'll, like osmosis, it'll get into our heads, but it goes all the way back to probably further into Genesis, but let's just start with Genesis 49 verse 10, when Jacob was giving his last oath or last blessings upon his 12 sons. And remember, when he came to Judah, he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes." And Shiloh is a phrase that is meant to be the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. So the Jewish Messiah will come through Judah. So naturally, the chronicler, 1 and 2 Kings told us all about all the kings, but when we get to Chronicles, it's just about Judah for very good reason, because remember, the Bible is a book of redemption. And when it gets to this area in the scripture in 1 and 2 Chronicles, it's all pointing the way toward Jesus, because Jesus would meander. He would come through the line of Judah. Finally, we'll find him. David has already come and gone, but we'll see that Jesus will ultimately take his rule and reign back when he returns in his second coming, yet future to us, coming to the earth specifically. And so now, last week, if you remember, we were looking at chapters 19 and 20 and really looking at Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a really wonderful king. He was a reformer king. He wasn't a perfect man by any means. But he has a son. Actually, let me back up. So Jehoshaphat, a great king, and the king right before him was his father, Asa. And both of these two men were wonderful men of God. And again, not perfect, but they did all that God wanted them to do, and they did things that were right in the sight of God. And so now we come to chapter 21, where it speaks of his son, Jehoram. And before we get into this, I just want to share a couple of things. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, that for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to him, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And as we look at the life of Jehoram, he is the firstborn son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He was given a great deal. I mean, after all, he had a father, Jehoshaphat, who was an outstanding king. And then his grandfather, Asa, was another outstanding king, and so he had the blessing of having not only a father, but a grandfather as great examples. In other words, godly men who pleased the Lord and did the right things. And again, like I said before, they weren't perfect men. They had their chinks in their armor, but they were good men, and they had a heart for the Lord. And they were good men in... there were good men in Jehoram's life. So what happened to this young man? What happened to him? Why did he turn out to be such a horrible king, as we're going to read? And why did he intermarry with King Ahab's evil daughter, Athaliah? At this time, Ahab was just on his way out, but Jehoram married Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. And we're going to look at that tonight, but why did he do this? And what did he see in her? Was it just her physical appearance that ensnared him? Or was he drawn to the dark side, if you will, that was prevalent in her and her family? Her mother and father were idol worshipers. They were devil worshipers. And Athaliah grew up in that environment. So what was it that this man, Jehoram, what did he see in this woman? It had to be physical. Unless his heart was just so gone. And isn't that a mystery, how there can be two godly men, a father and a grandfather, and then all of a sudden this guy to grow up and be so adamant in the opposite direction? Could it be that Jehoshaphat's alliance with Ahab? Now, if you've been with us for the last, you know, since we began this just a few chapters ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, remember Jehoshaphat went out to battle with Ahab when he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have come alongside this evil king. And perhaps Jehoram is looking at this, looking at his own father's life and thinking to himself that, you know, maybe things weren't so bad. You know, if it was good enough for my dad, then it ought to be good enough for me. But how could it, you know, when you think about the trouble that Jehoshaphat got into, remember last week, I think it was, he nearly lost his life, and God spared him. In his grace, God spared him. And I wonder if, you know, Jehoram is thinking, well, you let my dad get away with it, and so I'm going to do it, and there must not be anything wrong with it. But Jehoram had big shoes to fill. But it's true, as we'll read, that he scoffed at the godly heritage that he had, and rather pursued a life of idolatry and wickedness. In this case, the apple did fall far from the tree because he wasn't like his dad. He wasn't like his grandfather. So look at with me in verse 1 now. So it says, and Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. Now remember, Jehoshaphat reigned from 873 to 848 BC, a total of 25 years. In the last 5 years of his life, his son Jehoram was co-regent with him for about 5 years. So from about 853 to 848, these two sons, Jehoshaphat and Jehoram, were reigning together as his father's health began to fail, which was fairly common for this kind of thing to happen. And we understand that Jehoram's reign was from 848 to 841 BC, in just seven or eight years, actually. And so notice in verse 2 that he, Jehoram, had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariahu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And notice in verse 3, their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave to the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, it was a custom in that time for the reign, once a king dies, for the firstborn son to take over his father's reign. And it was called a dynasty. And David's the dynasty of David was never broken. But the dynasties of the northern 10 tribes, there were 9 different dynasties because there was so much chaos and so many conspiracies and intrigues that it got broken up quite a bit. But in Judah, it was one long dynasty. And Jehoshaphat made Jehoram king out of respect for the custom of the day. And a question I'm going to ask, because I'm not really sure when, but was he married to Athaliah at this time? We don't really know exactly when he married Athaliah, but I'm sure it was while his father was still alive. And if so, Why did Jehoshaphat not choose one of his other sons, especially seeing that his son was now kind of in the family of this wicked king of Ahab and the northern tribes? We're going to see shortly. And why didn't he choose one of his other sons, knowing that this was something that he saw happening? We're going to see shortly that by God's estimation, his brothers that I just mentioned to you, his brothers were much better than he was. So why didn't Jehoshaphat, seeing this, perhaps seeing the propensity of his son, he could have just said, you know, forget the custom. I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable where my son is. So I'm going to choose another one. And he would have been good doing that, even though he broke with custom. And breaking with custom wasn't all that bad. It happened from time to time. And if I was Jehoshaphat, that's something that I would have done. But why didn't he do it? I don't have that answer. Now we get into verse 4, and it says, now when Jehoram was established, notice, after his father had passed away, after Jehoshaphat had died, when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, notice, he strengthened himself, and then he killed all of his brothers with the sword, and also others of the princes of Israel. And again, Jehoram, co-regent with Jehoshaphat for 5 years. And certainly during that time, the relationships were being established between him and his brothers. Things have a way of coming to the surface once one brother becomes more prominent than the others. Has anybody noticed that? Maybe in your family you've got a relative or a brother or sister that somehow has gotten famous or gotten really wealthy, and now there's this intrigue now with the kids, and not everybody's really happy with them, and people are talking behind their back now, and these things happen because it's human nature, unfortunately. And also the conspiracy, I'm sure, was very thick in the air. Why did you get to choose? Why did God, you know, why did Dad choose you? Yeah, you're the firstborn, but, you know, you're nothing special. But Jehoram waited until Jehoshaphat was dead before he killed his brothers. And obviously he would do this to secure his throne by protecting it from his brothers seeking his life or conspiring against him. You remember that Herod the Great did this as well. He was so jealous and paranoid and protective over his reign that he killed many that were closest to him. He killed his wife Mariamne because he suspected infidelity in her. And in his latter part of his reign, as he began to get sick and start to diminish, he became even more paranoid, and he also killed his uncle, his mother-in-law, and three of his sons. In fact, Augustine, the Roman emperor, had said bitterly that it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son, because Herod would just kill anything and anyone in his way. So verse 5, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, a very short reign from 848 to 841 BC. And notice in verse 6 that he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. And that's not a good thing. Whenever the Bible says that a king walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, that's always a derogatory statement. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife. Notice the Spirit of God makes sure to remind us again that this man also had Athaliah as his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, in the parallel account of this in 2 Kings, beginning in verse 18, it says that he walked in the way of the kings of Israel just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised him to give him a lamp and his sons forever in Judah. And so the influence of Ahab's idolatry in the north, it corrupted Jehoram as well as his marriage to Ahab and Jezebel's daughter Athaliah. He married into the wrong family. And it makes you wonder, why did he do it? And why didn't somebody stop him? Maybe they tried to. Maybe he was headstrong. We don't really know. But this union and influence would bring him into contempt with God, and ultimately it would seal his doom. It's a horrible thing. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. While that promise is true, God will also not violate the free will of somebody who chooses to go a different way. And we clearly see that here. Verse 7, yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. Now, you remember, and I forgot, there's a typo here. It should be 2 Samuel verse 7, verses 12, or chapter 7, verse 12 through 16. But let me read to you that Davidic covenant, that promise that God had given to David, because this is going to be something that God is going to bring up over and over again about these other kings. And he's going to always relate them to David, because David, even though he had his issues, he was a man after God's own heart. God loved David. God chose David. And he wasn't the tallest, the brightest, the smartest. He was actually the youngest keeping the sheep. Nobody wanted to keep the sheep. That was a dirty job. And David was the shepherd. But God made promises to David that would go throughout all of the line of Judah, all the way up until Christ, and even beyond, yet future to us. Notice this prophecy. It's really wonderful. It's a promise that God had given to David. And Nathan the prophet came to David and said, thus saith the Lord. He says, when your days are fulfilled, David, and you rest with your fathers, meaning when you're dead, I will set up your seed after you. Now, certainly in the immediate, that would mean Solomon, but it would also refer to Christ. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. We know that Solomon did that. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And that kingdom, the everlasting kingdom, can only be done by someone who is everlasting. And that's Jesus Christ, who came from the line of David, who came from the line of Judah. And he says, And I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And notice in verse 16, God says it again. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. No, I didn't repeat myself. That's exactly what it says. And whenever God repeats himself like that, there's a reason. It's to drive home the point that your kingdom will be established forever. And it will be, and it is, and it will continue, and we will be part of that kingdom. Amen. Yes. So back in verse 8 in our text, and it says that in his days, in these days of Jehoram, Edom revolted against Judah's authority. So Edom was sort of like under Judah's authority. Now Edom was a people group that came from Esau, remember, which was Jacob's twin brother, Jacob and Esau, remember? Well, the people of Esau, they were actually called Edom. So Esau was the progenitor of the Edomites, or the people from Edom, and we know that they lived in this area off to the east of the Dead Sea, down here in the southeast of the Dead Sea. Edom was through here, and Mount Seir, and Seir and Edom is all the same right here, okay? And so this is where these folks from Edom had revolted against Judah's authority. So Jehoram, he went out with his officers and all his chariots. Notice there's no mention of prayer. There's no mention of seeking the Lord at all. And such is true for Jehoram. If this would have been David, David would have inquired of the Lord. He would have said, Lord, should we go after them? And the Lord will give him an answer. And David would obey. But there's no mention of Jehoram seeking the Lord at all, and because he's not a believer, he's not a worshiper of God. In fact, his heart is so far from God that he is to go out in battle at this point, he's in great jeopardy because he's out from the protection of God. He's outside the will of God. And so Jehoram went out with his officers and all of his chariots with him. And he rose by night and he attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. Now in 2 Kings 8:21 it says that Jehoram went to this place called Zair, and it is this place right, this is the Dead Sea here, and this is the southern part of the Dead Sea, and right below that, right there where I've got a red circle, just to the south of that southern section of the Dead Sea is possibly what's being referred to here. In fact, it might even be Zoar. If you remember back in Genesis 19, one of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Zoar was one of them. And this may be one that same place. Can't be dogmatic about that, but it's very possible. And so thus Edom had been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And at that time, Libna revolted against his rule as well because he had forsaken the Lord. And so we don't know where this place called Libna is specifically. There's a couple of places it could be, but there's no hard and fast understanding of its specific location. But notice something in verse 10. It says, at that time, Libna revolted against his rule, against Jehoram's rule. Do you sense that things are starting to fall apart for him? He's involved in some things that he ought not to be. He's married the wrong woman. He's now with the wrong family. He's married into this evil family. There's no prayer in his life. He's just kind of doing his own thing. He did it his way. You know, he probably had on his iPod, you know, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You know, and so he's out there doing his own thing. And at that time, Libna also revolted against his rule. And why? The Bible tells us right there. Because he had forsaken the Lord God of his father. That's the reason why.
That's the end of our study today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the book of 2 Chronicles. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.